This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Most mornings you can catch Ellen Tinsley by the shores of Jordan Lake in the North Carolina Piedmont, where she quietly observes the day-to-day lives of Petruchio, Catherine, Hershey, and Godiva. They are bald eagles. Ellen gave them their names. Ellen's a bald eagle monitor for the Army Corps of Engineers. Her job is to track the health and behavior of our national symbol. Ellen has spent time capturing the rare rituals of the species, like the courtship death spiral where bald eagles lock talons and plummet to earth, or perhaps the water. In any event, it looks awfully dangerous. Ellen Tinsley is a retired veterinarian and a wildlife photographer, and she joins me now. Welcome to the State of Things.
Oh, thank you for having me. You're allowing me to share, and I like sharing eagles and anything else.
Yeah, well, let's start with Kate and Petruchio, among others. How did they get their names?
How they got their names?
Let's start with them.
They were the first nest that I was assigned to, and so I had the privilege of watching them build their nest. A lot of people never actually get to see them put all the sticks together to build a nest. And Dad, Petruchio, I didn't have him named at that point. He came across the cove, and he was carrying a limb, literally a limb of a tree, about 4 inches around and about 5 feet long. He was barely off the water, and he was so proud of it. And he worked and worked, and he got across, and he got to the nest tree, and he went zooming up the side of the tree, and he went up on the little pile of sticks they had. And the female looked over at him, and it was obviously very proud of what he'd done. She looked at him. She looked at the stick. She looked back at him. She picked the stick up, and she threw it over the side.
Hence the reference to taming, taming the shrew.
Wow. Absolutely. And then to top it off, she reached over and bonked him on top of the head and sent him out for some more. So that's how they got their names.
Now, you've been watching these for a long time. Do you think it was a little bit, you idiot, that's too big, where am I going to put this thing? I mean, what was it that you think old Kate didn't like about that stick?
I have no idea whether it was just too big, wasn't long enough, was too short, I mean, was longer than what she needed to actually put in. The females are usually the ones that do most of the construction of the nest. The male brings the pieces in. And she didn't like it one bit. I've seen that happen in other species out there, but that one was rather dramatic. I mean, she was emphatic about it.
All right, so tell us what you're looking for now in Jordan Lake when you're watching these birds.
What we're looking for is, because the bald eagle is now off the endangered list, thankfully, we don't want to get back to the point that we were at in the mid-1960s where there were absolutely no bald eagles here in North Carolina. None.
Zero.
You know, because of the DDT and that kind of thing that had happened. And so North Carolina, Virginia and South Carolina got the eagles back. We didn't. And they had to do a hacking program out at Lake Mackinac Mesquite to bring the eagles back.
How does that work?
Oh, a hacking program is, the eagles are very territorial. So when they leave their nest, when they fledge out, when they're about 12 weeks old or so, they're going to eventually come back to that same territory when they're old enough to breed. Took us a time or two to figure out that we had to do it that way with them. So we had to bring in babies that hadn't quite learned to fly and hack them out of these big enclosures. And so they went out. Well, now we have a home at Lake Mackinac Mesquite. And so they started working their ways back up the rivers. Now, the whole time, the Wildlife Resource Commission and the Audubon Society, everybody was tracking, not literally because we didn't have radio things on them, but all watching them, because we did not want to get back to the point again where we didn't have any eagles left. And so in between the time about the 1983, somewhere in there, they released these birds. And lucky for the birds, we made a paradise for them. We dammed the Hall River. We put in Jordan Lake. Okay? So eagles have to have a tremendous amount of water and a lot of fish to live off of. Historically, the eagles had only been on the coast. They hadn't even been inside of the coastal plain, even when the Native Americans were the only ones here, okay? Because outside of Lake Mackinac Mesquite, we didn't have any lakes in the state. So as these youngsters grew and they started exploring, they'll fly 300-400 miles a day when they're exploring, okay? They found paradise, and it came time to nest. And so by 1993, thereabouts, we had nests here.
So it's interesting to think about that eagles historically were coastal birds. They didn't come inland, and that's primarily, as you say, we didn't really have lakes until we started making them, at least in this part of the country. How bad was it? Take us back to the...
It was so bad that by the mid-1950s, in all of the 48 states, the lower 48 states, okay, there were only listed 412 nests in all of those 48 states. That's how bad it had gotten. Now, Alaska is a whole different story. You know, they were outside of the path of pesticides, you know, that kind of thing. Right. So that was by the 1950s. By the mid-1960s, the birds on the East Coast had pretty much just totally disappeared. I mean, there was not enough birds to sustain because they were breaking their own eggs. So then, but the 1960s, and then we rehacked them. Like I said, Virginia and South Carolina actually had native existing birds start to inhabit more and more of their states from the small population that was still existing. But we didn't have any come in here because we only had Madame Mesquite. And for various and sundry reasons, they're not exactly sure why, but the state, the Wildlife Resources Commission, says we want them back. Hmm. So they actually brought fledglings in from all over the country here. Oh. So we got a kind of sort of a gang of...
There's a melting pot.
Absolutely a melting pot. That's a good way to put it here.
Of bald eagles. So tell us a little bit about this bird, right? They mate for life?
Yes.
And they have usually two broods of about two eggs?
They have two eggs usually. Yeah. We do have one nest out at the lake that a couple of times has produced three young. Hmm. That's not the normal. Two is the normal. Yeah. And they only breed once a year because we're talking about a long-lived bird. So it takes from last week in December till about the first week in June to get these babies big enough to fly out of the nest.
Wow. Yeah. And you have published an ebook that is perfectly delightful. What amazing photos of these birds in action, you know, catching fish, hidden in the trees. But also talk about their life cycle as well. And as I looked at the pictures in your book and saw your descriptions, it suddenly occurred to me that these things are camouflaged when they're young, right? Their plumage is definitely, you know, sort of browns and golds and that kind of thing, and then it turns the characteristic black with the white head. What? And so we get the camouflage. We're protecting the bird.
Yes.
Why do they bother changing color?
You know, we don't know. And sometimes I kind of sort of want to ask Mr. God, did he just want something at that point? And by the way, the birds are not actually black. They are a very deep brown. They look black to us, especially in flight. But if you look at some of my photos, when you got the close-ups, they're rich, rich, dark chocolate brown. They're not black. But we don't know why. I mean, some birds are born white, stay white all their lives. So great egrets are a case in point. So that doesn't seem to be a disadvantage to them as far as predation goes. I wish I knew.
Mm. What are the threats to eagles? Because that's a formidable bird. So even as a fledgling, after they're born, who would poach the nest?
Great horned owls will occasionally. Sometimes raccoons, if they find the nest, especially when it's still just eggs, they'll come up, they'll go up that tree, and it's 90 feet up usually, and raid the nest. Once in a while, you'll see a subadult or a juvenile eagle raid a nest. Eagles are scavengers. It'll take food everywhere they can find it. They don't hesitate. And if mom and dad aren't right there on top of the nest, somebody watching it, they'll come in. I've actually watched a couple of pretty good fights and shoving matches to get a young eagle out of the way.
You documented one in your ebook where there's a young, is it a juvenile who's trying to raid the nest?
Yes,
and
dad is
flying upside down, talons deployed.
Yes.
Looking pretty nasty on the underside of this attacking bird.
Yep. They're very agile flyers. In the stages of the lives of the birds, I find, and it's kind of like with us, you know, you get a teenager, they're going to try anything, right? But our two-year-olds, it takes them the first year of life. And by the way, for an eagle to get to its first birthday of its hatching is rare because we lose 50% of them in their first year of life.
Wow.
Okay, they don't learn to hunt efficiently, or they can't scavenge well enough. But it's also true of hawks and our other raptors. They all lose. They all tend to lose their lives because they just don't learn how to hunt. So in the process of growing up and changing our colors and all, one of my absolute joys, and I've managed to actually catch it a couple of times, the two-year-old eagles, they get very comfortable with me because I'm always in the same place. And I've had them come right in over my heads, turn upside down like a jet in one of these air shows. They turn upside down and right across the top of my head, upside down, looking over their shoulder at me as they go past. So they're quite agile. They're powerful, powerful flyers. They truly are. And that continually amazes me. I mean, you think about a bird that's about 10 pounds carrying that long of a stick that I was talking about for the nest. that's a pretty good heap to have to carry and keep yourself in the air.
Even the fish. I mean, you point out some of these fish are, you know, maybe not so big for us, pound, pound and a half, but for a 14-pound bird, that's a pretty good proportion
of its
weight.
It really is.
Wait, to tell us, too, because this is interesting, the male bird is substantially smaller than the female.
That's true. Absolutely. And that is true, by the way, of all raptors, hawks, owls, and all. However, in the bald eagle, it's really noticeable. The male is somewhere between, he's a quarter to a third again smaller than she is, 10 pounds against 14 pounds. He's got a wingspan usually about 7 feet. She'll push somewhere 7.5 to 8 feet.
Wow.
So there's a tremendous size difference. We're not sure of all the reasons of that. She's the one that has to carry the eggs. Her body has to supply the calcium and everything to put those eggs together. And she's the one that has to have the mass to mostly incubate these eggs so she can spread out over the two eggs. And they're fair-sized eggs. And when the baby's hatched, she's got to keep them warm.
So there's that. And she's spending more time, although they do share responsibilities for the young, she spends more time at home.
Yes.
So maybe having a nice big mom there, a threatening presence, could be good. And dad's, well, go ahead.
Yeah, you were saying dad?
Well, then, and dad, the other side of that, I suppose, is that if he's smaller, is he then more agile?
Absolutely more agile.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. When I see a pair flying side by side, and you were talking about the death spiral, when you see a pair together, it takes your breath away, even if they're in level of flight. And then all of a sudden you realize there's a really big one and there's a smaller one there. And he will often kind of sort of show off by flying underneath of her, flying around her. They do this. Eagles are very interesting at, yes, they mate for life. They kind of sort of reaffirm those vows, if you want to look at it in a human sense, every year before they go back into laying eggs again. They will do these same kind of death spirals. They will do the same kind of chases again. They will fly side by side again. So it's very interesting to watch. And when they go, the first time I ever saw the death spiral, I didn't know what I was seeing. It was one of my first months or two out at the lake. And I heard clack, 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 kind of like castanets, and I looked up, and here comes a pair of eagles past me. They were in level flight, but they were facing each other, flying parallel to the ground, to the lake, and they were tapping their talons together, tap, 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 tap. And then suddenly, the smaller bird, I didn't know it was a male at that point, he kind of sort of sat on his tail like you see the jets do at the air shows, and he went straight up. She was right behind him, and they got almost out of sight when I saw them reach talon to talon. And they just started spinning because now we're off center. And they don't, it's not four talons involved. It's usually one talon each. And they spin on that axis as they come down. And I watched them go down behind the trees and I thought, well, you know, what happened? And pretty soon here they both came up over the trees, separated by
them. They're plunging. They're not flying anymore. They're plunging to the ground, locked with one talon.
One talon to talon. And I guess they have to prove to each other, eagles are extremely arrogant. I mean, there's no other word for it. And yes, that's a human kind of word. They are extremely arrogant. And you've got to prove that you're going to be able to put up with this partner for the rest of your life, which is about 25 years. Okay.
Wow.
And one of the ways to prove that is, I'm not going to let go when we do this death spiral. And they get right to the water's edge before they let go.
Wow. There's kind of a chicken match.
Absolutely.
And like if one of them pulls out early, it's like, oh, no, you're no good.
You're not
I'm
worth it.
Marry
no,
you.
No, and they'll go off.
But now you talk about the fact that they redo this every year. I mean, is there a way in which 5 years in, it's like, oh, you flunked? I'm finding somebody new?
Not that I know of, because the only instances that we know when an eagle will take another mate, if one of them dies and they are still like in their up to 22, 23, still breedable, they'll go find another mate. But there are cases, documented cases, where if a pair has mated and they go through two cycles, 2 years worth, and they don't produce young, they will apparently mutually divorce, if you want to look at it that way, and go off and find other mates and actually reproduce with the other mate. So we don't know why they couldn't between the original pair, why it worked. So I don't know. I guess they just have to prove to each other that I still got it, what it takes. You know?
How long have you been? Because you haven't been doing this all your life, right?
No, I've not. I really got into it back in about 2010. Been a veterinarian at that point. I'd been a veterinarian for about 15 years and got into it because of a result of an accident. I couldn't work the horses anymore, so I had to do something with animals.
How about the adjustment? Because clearly you have an eye for eagles. Did it take you a while to see them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it took me probably a good year. We have what's called the gathering during the wintertime. We have a number of migrant eagles come in here. Our biggest load of eagles here is during the winter, okay, because they come in, the lake's a good source. We got eagles coming down from the north and all, and they come in. And it took me into the second gathering to understand that we're the best place to see them, and you learn real quick. I knew not to chase them, okay. Don't ever chase an eagle. They're going to get up and go. And I started to understand that if I sat still and let them come to me, don't make any threatening movements or whatever, they will actually come to me. And that allowed me then to start to study the different kinds of behavior that they were showing, because we would have mated pairs come. It was obvious. They hunted together, they perched together, but they were not our eagles. They were going to go back probably north, you know, come breeding time. To watch the youngsters interact, these brand new fledglings that had only been flying a couple of months, really, and 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, all deciding who's going to fight over what. Okay.
You have an amazing picture in your ebook about these fledglings kind of sitting on a perch on a branch, and one of them trying to figure out how to get next to him, but he's just not a good lander. Just like climbs on another bird's head and misses.
Well, like I said, they're very arrogant. If they want that, and they play chicken on the hill all of the time with favorite roosts, they knock each other off of them all of the time. But interestingly enough, they're marvelous flyers. They are not the best landers in the world. they just are not. And it may be because eagles have two focal points in their eyes. They can see straight ahead, they can see to the side at the same time. Uh-huh. Make us dizzy. But I think, and if you get to watch them enough, you'll see them actually spot that limb before they go to land on it. And a lot of times they spot a limb that's really smaller than their weight. So then everybody on the limb gets bounced, you know, like on a trampoline, up and down and up and down, and everybody scatters.
You talked about them having to learn to fish. Are they taught? How much of it is trial and error and how much of it is?
They do watch their parents, and I have watched parents go down, catch a fish, and turn around and look at the youngster like, are you watching what I'm doing? And then they'll take it over to the youngster. It's instinctive to fish. These babies that they fledged out to reintroduce them here, they didn't have an eagle to watch. They fledged out and had never. It's instinctive in them. Whatever moves in the water, or if they see something dead, because they are wonderful scavengers. Mm. And they'll chase a buzzard off a kill in a heartbeat.
One of the things you want us to be aware of is kind of how to react and how to be with the eagles when we're in a place.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Frank, because there are federal laws involved, not just whether or not behavior or not. Federal law, especially with nesting eagles, this gets very critical. And out at the lake, we're pretty picky about it, okay? By federal law, from that nest, you have to be 660 feet to be inside the log. Don't get inside that limit, because if mama's sitting on it, she might abandon the nest. Hmm. If the babies are almost to the point where they could fledge and they get scared, they'll call what they pre-fledge, they'll go out of the edge. Of course, they can't fly. 90 feet down is not safe. Hmm. Okay. So we tell people, think about it this way. 2 football fields. And so when people, especially in the winter, and they come and they see me out and they say, well, I want to do whatever. And I talk them into sitting down with me wherever I am, especially down there at the dam. And I say, now, I want you to get one thing in your mind first. We're not going to chase eagles. Okay. I said, because they're going to fly. And I said, I can guarantee you they're going to fly about 300 feet. And they look at me and say, that's an eagle's personal distance. You and I have a personal bubble. 300 feet is an eagle's. So football field in non-breeding season, if you come across a nest and it's breeding season, please just quietly back out, call the rangers, get a hold of me, let us know that you've seen the nest, because we're not sure where all the nests are, okay? And don't cross that line. We only have 17 nests out here, 11 were active this last year.
It's fascinating stuff. We'll have you back and find out more. Meanwhile, Ellen Tinsley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
It's Bald Eagle Monitor with the Army Corps of Engineers, giving a talk on bald eagles Saturday, July 15th at 2 o'clock, and again on August 12th at the Jordan Lake State Recreation Visitor Center. And you can find out that information to hear about Ellen's talk and find out about her ebooks at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Tim Tyson joins us to talk about his latest book that examines the murder of Emmett Till. Stay with us.